The agentic AI train is coming. The question is, how are we going to deal with it? And the great news is it's going to help improve productivity. It's going to help improve, return on investment. It's going to help improve revenue growth, but there's going to be a cost,
Hello, and welcome back to Stay Cognizant, where we bring you the ideas, people, and insights you need to stay cognizant of what's new and what's next in tech. Today, I'm joined by two leaders who are truly helping to define the future of the agentic economy. Naveen Sharma is Cognizant's Senior Vice President, Global Head of AI and Analytics, leading global strategy on data-driven transformation and enterprise adoption of intelligent systems. And joining us from International Data Corporation is David Shibmel, Research Vice President for AI and Automation, who tracks how emerging AI technologies reshape the enterprise operating model. Welcome, Naveen and David. We're really glad to have you here.
Glad to be here.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Well, today we're unpacking what's being referred to as the agentic economy, the rise of autonomous, interconnected agents that can sense, decide, and act across the enterprise. We're going to explore what's driving this shift, how organizations are preparing for it, and what it means for the future of work and the future of value creation. So let's start with the big picture. Agentic AI is quickly becoming one of the most talked about shifts in enterprise technology. But what exactly defines the agentic economy and why now? And Naveen, I'm going to start with you. When we talk about the agentic economy, what does that mean to you? And how is it different from traditional automation or AI-driven systems that we've been talking about, for the past few years?
I think this is a topic that deserves a little bit of a deeper dive. So I'm going to start with zooming out. Really far back. If you think back to, the traditional evolution of work, it was always very dependent and indexed to human labor. Humans would do work, we would produce output. So that was, one big part of the input was the human labor, the materials, and then the output. The Industrial Revolution changed that dynamic a little bit, became human labor, machines that would amplify that human labor and therefore could produce greater output, better output, doesn't really matter which dimension you focus on, but just allowed us to go better. We then came into, the last century, computing systems came in, allowed us to codify knowledge. It allowed us to scale, produce work very, very quickly. I think this introduction of agents and agentic AI into the economy is really something at that scale. It's taking things to the next level. We're no longer limited to taking things that have been codified, things that were programmed in a deterministic manner. And now we've got almost a new teammate or a new workmate that can be given a goal. You give it a goal, you give it some context, you give it some guardrails, and you let it do its work that it's been asked to do. And we think that is really what's changing a lot of this, right? The introduction of this new type of labor, agentic labor, into the workforce is what's going to really redraw the calculus for the economy. It's no longer limited to, what do humans and machines and rules do? It's humans, machines, rules, but then also this net new entity that can be given a goal and within reason finds its own way, its own path to achieving that goal. So really redoes the calculus for every business that we work with.
So I want to ask you one more question before I turn to you, David, and ask you about sort of the macroeconomic environment. But what breakthroughs in the design of agents or maybe even in the way that enterprises are thinking about labor pools are making these systems practical now for enterprises, Naveen?
Two or three different things, right? So yes, there's the usual, proliferation of compute and storage and network, right? Those are sort of a given that powers every single step function increase in technology. We get that. I think what's changed now is a couple of things. One, the building blocks, the basic building blocks, the agents themselves. It's fairly easy to create an agent. It's not easy to ground an agent to connect it to the enterprise and have it behave responsibly. All those things take work, but building a basic agent is something that can be done fairly quickly. So that became easier. Number two, I think what helped is the introduction of an orchestration layer that allows agents to coordinate and communicate and work in a little bit of a cohesive manner or work towards a common collective goal. I think that became another key enabler. third piece of this, maybe the final one that I'll speak about, is the recognition that context is king. You know, an agent can be given tasks, it can be told to go march off in a certain direction, but unless we give the agent a sense of why it's doing what it's been at, that context is really key. So I think these are the three biggest things that I can think of. I'm sure there's others, but these are the three big ones that stand on my mind in terms of why are we and everyone else so enamored with the possibilities of bringing agentification into the enterprise.
So David, zoom us out, you know, from your vantage point at IDC, what are the technological shifts? What are the macroeconomic shifts that are really fueling this movement that Naveen's talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the, there's several things that are driving agentic, you know, development. And obviously a key aspect is the broad adoption of generative AI as a basic building block. You know, I think that's something that we've seen a lot of, and people want to make more and better use of their generative AI. So agentic AI is one of those methodologies that people are thinking about. We're also seeing in terms of the macroeconomic environment, there's tremendous pressure on organizations to be more productive, to do more with less, you know, and essentially, you know, continue to improve their overall profitability and performance in the marketplace. And, you know, I think we're starting to see organizations getting measurable value from their AI investments, you know, and that includes agentic. Some of the other areas is, you know, the fact that we're seeing a shift to API first headless architectures, you know, so that agents can actually be integrated more easily into various kinds of workflows. And we're seeing that happen. And then the democratization of development, obviously with low code and no code, is also a very big factor. And of course, we can't forget this whole data-driven transformation. More and more organizations today are essentially living off of their data, you know, and interestingly enough, the ones that aren't doing that are really starting to lag behind. You know, just a kind of a data point here. IDC expects, in our recent Futurescape, we said that by 2027, we expect the use of AI agents in large enterprises is expected to jump 10 times what it is today, with token and call loads using those agents increasing 1,000 times. So we're just on the cusp of this, you know, agentic economy, you know, that Naveen spoke about. And I think we're going to see a tremendous amount of innovation over the next several years based on these agentic technologies.
How does it work? Break it down a little bit. You know, how do these agentic networks scale across some of the really complex workflows that you're talking about today and that you can imagine with a 10x, you know, increase in adoption? And what new capabilities are they unlocking for enterprises?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're seeing, you know, is agents being event driven and providing real-time responses. So, you know, human beings, there's a bit of a lag sometimes between, you know, responses and actually and these agents that are ever present, you know, can do this kind of automatically. We're also seeing, you know, horizontal integration across the ecosystem. So those headless API first designs that I talked about a little bit earlier, they help to break down the silos. And as Naveen was pointing out, you know, they help to create better integration and orchestration across data and various types of workflows and agents. And then, you know, really, this is really kind of a chance to have this, you know, kind of distributed intelligence and collaboration that organizations have always wanted, but never actually had. You know, so, I mean, I think this is those are some of the aspects. The other thing is that, you know, what we're seeing is that agentic technologies are starting to build in automated compliance and risk management, which is becoming increasingly important in the market. And offering better governance capabilities and observability capabilities. And I think that's going to be needed as we go through this, because we still need humans in the loop to be able to monitor and make sure that everything's right and things are getting done the way that they're supposed to be done.
Naveen, you've referred to this as the beginning of a new operating system for business. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's something that, let's frame this, right? Enterprises or companies have operated on a model where it's consistent. Humans design a process, and then we enable technology to execute that process. Agentic systems, I think, flip that script on the head. You now set intent. You build autonomous agents. You give it guardrails. You give it a little bit of direction and a goal. And then you let them work together. That's the orchestration layer that I think both David and I touched. Right? That's key. And when you bring all these things together, you sort of get this really easily scalable workforce that isn't human dependent, that still needs humans, but is able to do a lot of complex processing back and forth. The things that made humans really powerful in the workplace setting, right? The ability to coordinate and orchestrate and collaborate, all are now natively available, but in the manner of compute. That is new. That is different. And if you think about where you can go with that, that really allows you to reframe any business process. A business process that took 3 or 4 or 5 humans interacting, going back and forth, exchanging information through systems or just human-to-human conversations, can now be reimagined as a process where it's agents doing this activity. And obviously, agents don't need to sleep. You can scale them as quickly and as rapidly as you would want them to and as much as you would want them to. You still need to keep an eye on what they're doing and the cost and the output produced. So there is work to be done. It's not all free money raining down from the skies, but it allows you to scale out and build a business very differently. And we think it's really what the promise is. So I think companies that, my big bet, companies that will be leading 5 years from now, whatever line of business you're in, will have bought into this new operating system. They will have figured out how to either rewire every single process so it takes advantage of this capability, or at least start to take key processes where maybe rewiring isn't needed. Maybe you just need to improve that process. And you know what the improvement is, you haven't been able to do it because of the complexity of doing it with a human-based workforce. I think this changes all of that. So this is where we think the benefits and the sustainable advantages of the future will come from.
So now that we've defined the agentic economy and talked a little bit about the potential that it has to change the way companies work, let's talk about how it's actually coming to life from architecture to adoption. And I'd love to hear from either or both of you on this around IT investment criteria. I have to imagine that organizations really have to change the way that they think about that to support these agentic workflows. And I'd love to hear what are either or both of you seeing in that regard?
David, why did you go first, and I'll layer in.
So in terms of IT investment, I mean, I think we're seeing a lot of interesting things. Some of the areas where we see organizations investing heavily is in things like IT operations, customer service, marketing. Previously, part of the reason that we see those folks investing in those particular areas is because there's actually very visible KPIs and return on investment coming back. So if you have an AI agent to automate various types of IT operations, that means you don't have to have people doing that on a daily basis, and you can actually process things more quickly. If you can do it for customer service, you can actually replace some of those call center agents, or actually what we're seeing is that call center agents are not actually being replaced, but what they're doing is the call center agents are actually being used for the more difficult and challenging problems, and the agents are actually solving the simple ones. We're seeing the same thing in terms of marketing, where agents are identifying various types of potential buyers and being able to help organize that and provide that. So those are some of the areas where we're seeing that IT investment. The other thing that's really interesting about IT investment is that CEOs are not giving organizations brand new money to be able to invest in AI. So what's happening is in a lot of these organizations, they're actually removing investment funds from other areas to AI. So we found, for example, that cybersecurity is an area where people are taking funds from cybersecurity and investing them in agentic AI. Or, you know, IT operations, they're taking it from IT operations and investing it in AI. So those are some of the key areas that we're seeing as it relates around IT, you know, IT spend and infrastructure.
Yeah, no, my framing is very similar, but, you know, what we're seeing is it's sort of three big lenses through which companies are looking at this. What's important? What deserves this new investment of obviously capital, but also energy and focus from an enterprise leader, right? So David covered that really well. So what's important? What's doable? We also need to recognize, right? This is still technology. Year two of widespread availability for agentic AI. So let's also call out things that are actually doable at the moment in terms of technology. The technology is fascinating. It's broad. But obviously you deploy what's available and what's doable. And the third part of it is what's allowed. And, you know, the what's allowed part changes importance or ranking depending on the geography we're in. So within the North American region, you know, a lot more flexibility. Within Europe and some of the other economies that we work in, we see a lot more guardrails in terms of, you know, here are the things that you're allowed to do. Here's what's explainable, and therefore it is okay to do it. Or if you can't explain it to a certain level, we think you need to pull back. So I think companies are looking at all three of those lenses: what's doable, what's important, and then what's allowed. They're also very quickly looking at, you know, what is the state of my enterprise today, and sort of ties into what's doable. You need a certain amount of data availability and data readiness. Sometimes I feel that, you know, in all of the excitement around AI and agentification, the underlying data layer gets missed out. But I think that is another key component that everyone needs to think about.
Can you maybe build on, you know, some of the things you were just talking about, Naveen, and share, you know, what are we seeing from a Cognizant perspective in terms of early enterprise deployments? What are there, you know, you talked a little bit about geo, you know, differences, but what about industries? Are there certain industries that are leading adoption? You know, I can imagine that there are some common challenges in terms of legacy modernization and, you know, retiring tech debt and things like that, that may be holding others back. But can you talk a little bit about that and what you're seeing?
Broad strokes, right? And this is something that surprised me. The industries that are highly regulated or that have a higher regulatory bar are actually the ones that are leaning in. And that seems a little counterintuitive when I gave it a surface. But when we dug in, we found out that any industry that has a high regulatory bar to clear obviously then has a lot of humans and processes that have been built for meeting that goal, that objective. And we're seeing banks and insurance companies and healthcare companies and pharma companies, right? Some of the more highly regulated sectors leaning in a little bit more because they can see a lot of these processes can be done using agents, can be scaled using agents. So that's one trend from a sector perspective. That's another trend, which is, that whole, it's not just limited to contact center, but anytime you have a interaction with a human at an enterprise. You need to have an interaction with a human at an enterprise, be it a salesperson at an enterprise, be it a service role in the more traditional contact center setting. We're seeing that become front and center of these conversations as well. I'll give you an example. We have a large client and we helped them agentify an existing business process where they were processing returns. It's a B2B return. So it's not your traditional big box return where, you know, you drop a shirt off and someone issues you credit in your transaction. But a B2B company that is processing returns, it used to take them 2 weeks to turn around the return and have the credit be issued to the buyer that they had. because they had to make sure that the product was sourced for them. They had to make sure that the expiry date of the product wasn't breached. They had to make sure the product was shipped to them on time and, you know, within the right quality parameters. And then they had to make sure the product was actually paid for. A B2B setting is obviously different than a B2B setting before you could issue a return. All of that, and then things like, you know, how do I make sure this is not a retailer that's just using me as a bank for turning back product when they don't need it? That process, when we finished agentifying it, we were able to take that down to 30 minutes. From something that took weeks to 30 minutes. Think about what that allows this company to do now, right? So now you can start to process returns quicker. Your customer satisfaction goes up. The likelihood that those buyers that you are now servicing with that much of a faster speed are going to be with you for the long haul goes up. And it frees up human capital to actually do other things. David spoke about this, right? Agents are handling some of the simpler scenarios. But now you've got that human capital that is able to take what would have been a sort of an unpleasant interaction or a forced upon interaction. I have to return product there, I have to talk to someone. Turns that experience into, I've already processed your return, but now that you are talking to me, Miss Customer, Mr. Customer, what are these other things that I think you may need or may be interested in? So it takes that whole experience and just elevates it beyond a very transaction-focused experience. Those are the kinds of things that we're starting to see within the Fortune 100.
So, David, we just heard an example of, you know, significant time reduction in a core process for a business. What are the other KPIs or metrics that leaders should be tracking to measure agentic ROI as these systems continue to scale?
I mean, you know, obviously, you know, time to resolution that Naveen was mentioning is a key one. But I think other ones are things like, what is the cost savings that you're seeing? You know, how much are you doing in terms of automation? You know, if I mentioned the customer service aspect, if I can automate 50% of those customer service interactions, that's a major improvement. You know, one of the things that generative AI sometimes gets dinged for is accuracy and reliability. So having KPIs to track error rates and exception handling and things like that and consistency of output, I think, is important. Obviously, the customer experience metrics, net promoter score, customer satisfaction, customer deflection rates are all, you know, key aspects. From a security and compliance, how many security incidents happened? How many compliance incidents happened? You know, in terms of scalability, you know, how many agents does an organization have in production? Is it 100? Is it 1,000? Is it 10,000? Is it 1,000,000? You know, I think, you know, that can help them with that. And then obviously, you know, what the C-suite certainly cares about is the business outcomes. Okay, where's the revenue growth based on this? Where's the profit uplift? You know, are you accelerating profits due to agentic operations? You know, so I think those are some of the key things. And then, of course, adoption and engagement rates are always key factors that people should be thinking about.
So talk a little bit about adoption rates, David, from IDC's data. What patterns are you seeing that stand out right now? What market signals are you seeing that stand out right now?
Interestingly enough, at the beginning of this year, we had a lot of people talking about agentic AI, but not too many people doing it. But interestingly enough, by, you know, we're now approaching the end of the year, a lot of organizations have actually begun to undertake agentic operations, you know, and we're finding out that, you know, organizations have a preference for modular and pre-built solutions, you know, to, you know, because if they can get something up and running quickly, like Naveen was talking about, you know, that's important to them. You know, I think we're seeing a lot of experimentation set. And then Naveen talked about, you know, different industries, you know, and how they're doing. We're seeing, you know, the tech and finance and retail arenas are really moving very quickly to adopt agentic, while healthcare and manufacturing and governments are kind of lagging behind. for two reasons. One is because of the complexity of the type of agents that they need to have running. And the second is because of various regulations. In the healthcare market, you know, everything is highly regulated, you know, so they have to be, you know, very careful about that. You know, but I think, you know, overall, you know, we're seeing the agents starting in the back office and gradually moving into the front office, you know, with the exception of some of those retail and customer service ones that I talk about. But IT orchestration, IT operations is a traditional back office one, helping resolve accounts payable situations, helping resolve accounts receivable situations. Those are back office that are well made for agentic AI solutions.
As agentic AI systems become more capable, the relationship between humans and AI will fundamentally change. Let's talk a little bit about what that looks like. And I'd love to hear from both of you. What does effective collaboration between humans and agents look like in practice? And I also wonder, you know, you started, you know, you're talking about 100 agents, a million agents. Does it change as there are more and different ratios between humans and agents? What does that look like?
I think the models, it's going to be less hierarchical. It's not a model where it's, you know, human says, go do something. That may be where we start. But I think the model is going to become a little bit more co-creation. Like, you know, it's working with an agent as we work with each other. We get a common goal, and then we brainstorm, we go back and forth, and there's going to be things that I feel comfortable handing off to David or to you, Pam, and you will hand off some things to me because we're marching towards the same direction and we have a certain expectation. So I think that co-creation and coexistence model is the way this will pan out. It is a model that will absolutely require humans to be in the loop, you know, for settings where it's human interacting with an agent for sure. But then we also see this other nuance emerging, which is agents working directly with other agents outside the enterprise. So you could, very, very realistic scenario where you've got two agents negotiating a simple contract with each other in two different enterprises. You still do need a human to be involved to make sure that the output meets the goals. Now, as capabilities progress and as technology evolves, I could see a net new line of business emerging, something, some entity that comes and says, I'm going to validate the work of two different agents and make sure it's doing. So those are all the things that are, you know, on the horizon. They're not here yet. But I think that's what the collaboration models are going to start to move towards.
People need to be thinking about agents as not replacements for their positions, but really as coworkers or advisors or assistants. You know, I think that's really the key, you know, is that, you know, agents are going to be able to handle different types of things. Certain aspects will be, you know, automatically taken care of. But then you're going to need collaboration and cooperation between the human being and the agent to actually solve other aspects of things. And you know, we believe that, you know, agentic AI really is going to be kind of a help meet, if you will. I mean, if you think about it, if we go back a couple of hundred years, when people used to build houses, they used traditional hammers, they used traditional saws, all right? And it used to take, you know, an entire village to raise a barn, okay? Today, three or four people put a house up or put a building up. And what's the major difference? The major difference is the power tools that they use. The circular saws, you know, the different types of automated tools. AI agents are essentially power tools for your why. Okay, that's the way I like to think of, you know, AI agents is their helpmeets, their assistants, their coworkers to help you get the most out of your mind. I don't think anybody sees the, you know, human potential going away, but I really see it augmented and improved by AI agents of the time.
So we're talking about a future where humans are co-creating and coexisting and collaborating. We've talked about context. Our CEO, Ravi, has talked about sort of this Hollywood model where teams come together to solve problems and then are able to, you know, return to doing other things. And when you think about all of this, what new roles or skills does this require for humans and enterprises to really take advantage of these agentic systems as they become more scaled and more mainstream? And again, I'd love to hear, you know, both of your thoughts on that.
I'll share my perspective first. So here's my sort of the way I think about this, right? We're going to be moving from process-based, workflow-based thinking to ecosystem thinking. The ecosystem exists within the enterprise and, of course, outside the enterprise. To build this ecosystem, you not only need people that can design the agent, right? You need people that can capture the context within which that agent operates. You need people that are very focused on making sure agents have the right access to the right data sets. You know, an agent shouldn't be given access to every single piece of data within the enterprise. So how do you make sure that the agent has access to the right piece of information? The agent's performing to the task that it was given. It behaves responsibly and ethically. It's executing within the cost and latency parameters that we wanted to, right? So really just making sure the system is running the way it's supposed to. The system being built is one part. The system running is another part. The third part of this evolution, I think, is the system improving itself in every single transaction or interaction that it does. Humans are wonderful at doing a lot of things, but you know, let's face it, not too many of us are very happy about stopping what we're doing and then going into learn mode and catching up on, you know, the five new things that we should have done yesterday that we would have done differently, or the new areas of technology that came up. All of those will become mainstream and required. So I think these are just some new areas where a lot of new skills or roles will start to emerge from, because this is a fundamental rewiring of the enterprise. This is not the human-centric or human-plus deterministic system-centric setting that we've worked with for our careers. This is going to be different.
It seems also you have to be able to think about more than just your role, right? You have to be able to think about your role in that ecosystem and what all the other pieces are that actually help your role to be successful, because now you're trying to train an agent to understand that same thing and become, you know, bigger. Your role becomes sort of bigger in a way than what it was before.
Yep, absolutely. I think that's just the right way to look at this. And it's making sure that you, again, goes back to that collaboration and coexistence topic that we just touched on, right? Working with this net new entity, a digital labor persona or an agentic AI instance, whatever framing you choose, but working with that sort of an entity as a collaborator, as someone or something that you will learn from, you will coach, and we will all march in the same direction. That's sort of the mental framing in that larger ecosystem setting. I think that's the right way to look at this.
Yeah, I mean, IDC just had we publish every year a set of predictions for a futurescape. And one of the most recent predictions is that 40% of all global 2000 jobs will involve working with AI agents by 2026. So not very far away. Redefining entry, you know, mid and senior level positions. And some of the job roles that ID believes are going to be there are things like agentic workflow designers, AI governance and ethics specialists are going to be heavily needed. Agentic system managers to help organize and manage all these agentic systems that we're going to need. We're going to need people that are experienced in prompt engineering and data curation. We're going to need people to help train all of these folks in the use of AI agents. So we're going to need change managers, trainers to do that. And then, you know, agents is going to essentially spawn these centers of excellence. So we're going to need people to be leaders of these centers of excellence. So those are just a few of the jobs that we think, or the job titles that we think are going to be common, you know, over the next several years. But I think, you know, again, you know, people's roles are going to change and how they work with technology is going to continue to change. My grandchildren are going to have a much different working relationship with AI agents than we do today. But, you know, we're essentially laying that groundwork now.
So you're talking about grandchildren. You're talking about the future. Last question for both of you. Make a big bet. What's coming 5 years from now?
I think enterprise strategy is going to shift from, how do we automate tasks to something that David touched on earlier on. How do you orchestrate enterprise intelligence at scale? Companies are going to think fundamentally differently about this, right? It's not just how do I use an agentic system. It's how do I use these capabilities to drive growth for me? I do see, a scenario where you have autonomous agents that are going to run business functions. We spoke about negotiating contracts, designing a personalized product, or even possibly launching a new micro business. Those are all possibilities that I think are very, very real in that time horizon.
And another prediction from our Futurescape is that by 2029, we believe agentic AI will decrease operating costs by 20 to 30% overall for leading firms, which is huge. But the downside of that is that that's going to cause a lot of change in organizations. So the question is, how is society going to deal with all of that change? I think, the train is coming, the agentic AI train is coming. The question is, how are we going to deal with it? And the great news is it's going to help improve productivity. It's going to help improve, return on investment. It's going to help improve revenue growth, but there's going to be a cost, and the cost is, how do we reskill and retrain all these people to take advantage, of all of the AI that's coming down the road?
Well, as we've heard today, the agentic economy isn't really about automating tasks. It's about creating a new framework for decision-making, collaboration, and value creation. And Naveen and David, thank you both so much for being here, sharing your insights. You're both really at the forefront of this huge change that's happening. So it's just wonderful to have you both here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
No, I think this conversation was great, and we're excited about what the future holds. There is a ton of work to do. It is not a certain future where we can execute step 1, 2, 3 all the way through 100. But I think the possibilities that it unlocks are fantastic, and we really can't wait to get started with this for our clients.
Well, thanks to all of you for listening. We'll be back soon with more on how Cognizant is helping organizations turn emerging technologies into meaningful progress. We'll see you next time on Stay Cognizant.